Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. My guest today is my dear, dear friend, Megan Buchanan. And Megan is leaving for her next adventure in Antarctica. So, Megan, tell us a little bit about Antarctica, your preparations, how long it'll be, you know, when you'll be back and stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's I'm super excited because I, of course, you know, not only have a goal of the 7 summits, which means I would need to climb the highest peak on Antarctica, which is Mount Vincent, but I would need to also do the ski to the South Pole. And, you know, it is, it's one of those things where it makes it a little bit longer, but if you have the idea that you want to go do both, you might as well do both of them back to back, because getting to Antarctica is a challenge in itself. It's very expensive. And so I will be doing both of those things back to back. I leave tomorrow, and I actually will fly into Santiago, Chile, and there's added time just because of all the COVID restrictions. We have to get PCR tested in Santiago before we're allowed to fly down to Punta Arenas, which is the southern part, really city that you can be in Chile. And with a negative PCR test, and we get a flight down there, and then we'll spend a few more days meeting the team, getting gear prepped like you would do for any expedition, and also getting PCR tested almost every day. Antarctica is very specific about, and actually Chile has very specific rules about entering the country, and so for Antarctica, you have to be vaccinated and show proof. Because if you think about it, they are only a scientific research area, and they don't have medical facilities to take care of people if they have COVID. So then we'll fly over to Antarctica once the weather opens up and we're good to go, and I will go right into my last degree ski. I'll do that part first, which means skiing from really, you know, latitude, longitude from 89 degrees to 90 degrees, which is approximately about 65 nautical miles. So that will be a 6-day adventure, and we will actually go to the South Pole. And then from there, I will get myself to Vincent Base Camp. Based out of Union Glacier, and I will then go and climb Mount Vincent, which is another 6-day, expedition. And so, you know, in between there, it's just maybe a day or two from, you know, different weather delays. So when I return is always up in the air. You have to get a flexible ticket, but I assume that I will be ready to come home anywhere between January 2nd and January 6th. So I will spend Christmas and New Year's on Antarctica and with penguins. So I'm super excited about that.
Okay. I was never terrific with geography. What's the difference in miles, or how far is it between the North Pole and the South Pole?
Oh, for the circumference of the Earth, I do not know that off the top of my head. I think that's a Google-able thing. Let me see here.
Okay.
Miles.
See, I thought maybe the North Pole is on one part of the Earth and the South Pole is on the other part of the Earth. Am I wrong?
No, I think so the North Pole and the South Pole is pretty much it's not necessarily exactly on its axis, so that just because you get magnetic pole and then the true pole, but that is what the Earth spins on that axis, and so that is the topmost point and the bottommost point of the Earth.
Okay. So
yeah, and it says 6,220 miles. I don't know if that's straight through or around the circumference.
So after you do one of the poles, do you have to go on a plane? See, I really don't know that. Will you have to go on a plane to do the other pole?
So yes, you have to do that. So again, the northernmost, the North Pole, not just where Santa lives, but but the North Pole, you would get to that, literally think about going to the top of the world. So going up through Canada, you know, going up through, I guess, on the other side would be north of Siberia, Norway. So the northernmost part is actually over water, and so it is frozen over. The southernmost part is going down south through Antarctica. So it is the opposite sides of the Earth.
Wow.
So, yeah.
When you go to the North Pole, are you going to put your request in to Santa what you want for Christmas?
Yes. Unfortunately, though, I will be going in our summer, so it will not be – it's kind of opposite. I'll be at the South Pole for this Christmas, but – next, you know, when I do it again, it will be more the spring or the summer. But definitely, I will ask for a safe journey from Santa. And I'm bringing my ugly Christmas sweater with me to the bottom of Antarctica this year.
So after you summit Antarctica, what do you have left?
So then, what I'll do is, you know, hopefully, if I can find the funding to return, I will go back to Everest in spring. So I'll come back the beginning of January and just keep training in Colorado for 3 months, 3.5 months, and then I would leave for Everest again at the end of March. So, you know, doing anytime you're going to go into Everest, one of the big climbs, it's so good to have another climb under your belt within the last 6 months, just so that your body is acclimatized better, and it just gives you that extra advantage. And since, you know, unfortunately we're not able to summit last year on Everest, having this win, you know, under my belt for accomplishing Antarctica will also just mentally be a great advantage going back into Everest. And then, yeah, and then after that, next fall, then I would do Carson's Pyramid, and that will be the 7th summit. So I'll be done with those. And then the next spring, I will go and do the last degree ski to the North Pole. So we're getting them checked off one at a time here.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
But the Antarctica, isn't it? Would you say it was as grueling as Everest?
Well, with anything, I will have to do it before I can answer that. But from everyone I've talked to, you know, really, like, the most difficult ones are Denali and Everest in common poles that I've taken. Now, but Antarctica has difficulties, of course, of its own. And one of those things are the extremely cold temperatures. And even more so on the ski, to the South Pole, because there are such high winds, I can expect up to negative 50 degrees. So there are a lot of special clothing items that I had to get specifically for this trek. And then on Denali, there will be pulling both places will be pulling a sled, but also on Denali carrying a pack that is going to be similar to Denali. And up to 60 pounds. I was reading last night, 60 to 65 pound pack to carry for Vincent. So that will be very challenging for sure.
Wow. Now,
Have
you seen the commercial on TV about financial planning and the older lady that's climbing Mount Everest? Have you seen that commercial?
I have not. I have not seen that one.
It's very interesting, and, you know, she's climbing it all by herself. She's not with a party, and a climbing party, and I'm thinking, you know, as far as what Megan's told me, this is a little bit of a stretch. It's, you know, how to financial plan something, and this lady wanted to do Everest. And she's an older lady, and it's quite interesting.
I'm going to look it up. You know, when I was on Everest, you know, last year, of course there are some really special expeditions going on of people trying to do an unsupported summit. And, yeah, that does take it to a whole nother level. And really, really, you know, amazing feat. Generally, your chance of summiting, you know, does go down exponentially by taking on that extra challenge. But that's something really special and amazing.
Well, you know, when I watched the commercial, I would say that the lady that's climbing Mount Everest has got to be in her 60s. And I would think that climbing Mount Everest when you're that old and doing it alone has to be nearly impossible.
Nothing's impossible. That's the whole point of this, right? You know, and for any of us, even climbing Everest with a supported group, of course, getting older, I think there's a sweet spot. I think being too young, a lot of times mentally you might not be prepared for it. So there's this nice sweet spot, because then being too old, perhaps it's going to be harder on your body. But we, you know, there was just a gentleman this last spring in his 70s that summited, and just what a nice, amazing man. And, you know, he did it. But, you know, we're all aging differently than we did 20, 30, 40 years ago. And I mean, I have met some, you know, especially living like in Vail, Colorado, where there's athletics are all around us. Our bodies, we are learning this art of longevity, that we're able to push ourselves longer and farther than we ever have. Like, we're just evolving, I think, as a species. And so it is really amazing. And I will definitely look up this commercial you're talking about, and I'm assuming it's based on a real person. And she's someone I need to follow on Instagram then. That's amazing. If she's doing it, then I've got 20 more years to do it. That's awesome.
Right. So, you know, you and I have talked off air about the difficulties that athletes have in funding. I mean, you know, what you're doing is quite an accomplishment, and to have it funded is very difficult. So across the board, would you say that that's true, and you're having trouble with the insurance company, that they refuse to honor your trip to Everest, and the fact that you were so close to summiting and you didn't? So for all athletes out there who want to be on top of their game, and at the same time they have to worry about, you know, severe financial worries, what do you say to them?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think, you know, the thing that's hard, because I've been talking about it a lot with a few people, some experts and marketing and PR people, but then also there is an amazing movie on Netflix that everyone's talking about right now called 14 Peaks. And it is about Nims, who is a phenomenal mountaineer, Nepalese, who took a team and they did the 14 peaks above 8,000 meters, mainly in, you know, Nepal and Pakistan, that and they did it within a year. And so it's interesting because he is one of the names that's well recognized and has everything under his belt for mountaineering. And in this movie, he's trying to get funding for this amazing expedition that will completely break barriers and records. He's having trouble getting funding. And I think the problem with it is because you're asking people to invest in a dream. You're asking people to invest in possibility, but the risk on return is pretty high. And so, you know, and I think for athletes too, once they have accomplished a set goal or record, then you can start getting people behind you for sponsorship because you've already achieved it and you can go along with the name. Asking someone to invest on the journey and the dream of something happen, that is a big ask, and I get that. Because, you know, I'm trying to do the Six Floors Grand Slam and then hopefully the Adventures Grand Slam. Very few women have ever done. But it takes – it's a long-term investment and goal. You know, it takes years and years to do. Well, some people who do have funding can do it very quickly. But you're asking someone to invest in a long-term goal. And what if I have an injury? What if I – and it doesn't get accomplished? You know, so I get that it's a big ask, and you've got to position yourself right or get the right belief behind you and help share your story. And my whole story is really about this whole concept of grit and picking yourself back up when you've had a set down and just any challenge in life. And my story is about the journey. It's not just the accomplishment. And it's about the setbacks and, you know, keeping that positivity and moving forward. And so, you know, even it's funny for me because I, it would be so nice if I could get Everest to get help getting funded. But at the end of the day, even if I don't, it's just in my fiber that I will figure out how to do it. Because that is grit. Like, and honestly, again, like we talked about this, if I have to wait another year to be able to throw fundraising dinners so that I can go, then I will have to wait another year, but I will do it. So, you know, it is a challenge, challenge accepted. You know, I know I'll get it figured out one way or the other. Let's just hope it's sooner rather than later.
So you said that you had started doing mountain climbing when with your dad, right?
Yeah, long time ago. I started as a kid.
And your dad is no longer with you, am I correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so when you were climbing mountains when you were younger with your father, did you tell him at that time your goal was to do the seven summits?
Oh, no. I never envisioned that. Honestly, like hiking with him was really my therapy for, you know, dealing with the struggles of being dyslexic and having a lot of, you know, that the struggles of, you know, always feeling embarrassed or ashamed or, you know, academically a lot of anxiety. But we would go hike because it was our time together, and I just felt naturally good at it, and I loved it. And so it allowed me to just be me. And so we loved climbing 14ers in Colorado and hiking. And then I started doing with another charity, you know, Everest Base Camp and that sort of thing. But my dad and I climbed. It was his dream to climb Kilimanjaro. So when he asked me if I wanted to do that with him, he didn't even get the sentence out of his mouth. And I was like, yes, we're doing this together. And that was the very first of the seven summits I did. And I loved it. It was amazing. I did not envision doing the seven summits and then the North and South Pole really did not come into my mind until years and years later after my snowboarding accident. And, you know, told that I have a wheelchair, a cane the rest of my life. Yeah. And all I could think about while I was rehabbing and taking 2 years to build my leg back is I just wanted to, you know, hike to Everest Base Camp again. I wanted to go back to Kilimanjaro. And I did it. And that's when I discovered I was stronger mentally than I'd ever been. And then I did Aconcagua. And that was. I mean, it's not easy, but it was wonderful. Like, I loved it. And at that point, I had really decided I had something here about the mental strength and understanding the beauty and the struggle I felt limitless and fearless. And that's when the whole idea was born. Like, you know what? I'm going to keep going. I think I can do this. And then, you know, doing Elbrus, and then Denali was the big point. I made it through Denali on first attempt, and then I was like, you know what? I really have a good shot at this, and then started working for Everest.
So when your organization is called GRIT, and you talk to women, you know, women's groups and so forth, and when you tell them that your goal is the seven summits, and, you know, not many people think, oh, I'm gonna climb a mountain today. So when you talk about it to them, and the fact that you're telling them this is achievable, what's their reaction?
That is such a great question, because it is interesting. I just throw it out there. I mean, yeah, I love talking really to help inspire women and girls, but also just, you know, this is about anybody who has a long-term challenge that they choose, or one they didn't choose, like, you know, having a learning disability, having a physical disability, really being able to turn those things around. And so when I talk to groups and people, I really use the Seven Summits and Explorers Grand Slam really as just a metaphor, because when, you know, if they actually wanted to do that specifically physically, yes, you know, it is possible. But I really try to make it more palatable about any goal or challenge you have in your life. You can achieve it. And it's such a good parallel to talk about the training for these mountains and the preparation and the mental strength and you know, practicing and failing and going back again, because all of those lessons from mountaineering apply to any challenge or goal that you have in your life. And I was just talking to a gentleman the other day. He was talking about his daughter being very dyslexic, and she's 30 now, and what they had to go through. They didn't even think that she'd be able to go to college. And, you know, me, I was told that I wouldn't achieve much academically either. And even though I told, like, in high school, I'd say, oh, I want to be an aerospace engineer. And my counselors told me that it just was not, I really should not go after that, that it wasn't really achievable or appropriate for me. And I was talking to him about it. And it's the setbacks and being told no, and these parallels that are just go together so well. So, you know, through my adventures, yes, like the physical adventure is really amazing, and learning these cultures in these different places. But really my overall goal is just, yeah, using it as a metaphor of, if, you know, you have a learning disability and you want to become an engineer, you're going to be told no a million times, but you can do it, because you need to tell yourself yes, and it is achievable.
Wow, that's powerful. You know, I mean, people are kind of dissuaded from doing things maybe a couple of times, and then they'll think, oh, okay, what's the use? But if you're told no multiple times and you keep on trying to achieve what you want to achieve, that's very powerful. And, you know, whether you climb a mountain or go to law school or become a doctor or even finish high school, it's important that people know, not only women but men also, that if it's in your heart and people say you can't do that and it's innately in you, go for it, right?
Yeah, you're right. And I really, especially like our talks and different talks I'm having, and really being able for myself to kind of analyze it and get it down to the core. And, you know, I don't know anything different than the struggle of dyslexia. So I can't say how it would be without, but I will say that set me at a very young age. You know, my mom again telling me, we discovered I was in second grade, but her telling me, you can do anything you want to do. You are just going to have to work harder than everybody else. And that was the mindset that my family gave me. And so those tools, like through GRIT, is something that I want to share with other people, because, and it does, it's not easy. You want to give up, and the doubt in your head, you know, it takes years, and it's a daily practice. It's a choice every day. Today, I am choosing to get back up and try this again. And of course, mm-hmm. there's times where I'm like, what am I doing? And you cry or you give up, but, you know, maybe you give yourself a day to pout and then you get back up the next day. And, but it is something that, you know, all you have to, the first step is you deciding that you want to make that choice. And the more you do it and you make that choice to get back up again and keep working at it, it gets easier and easier to where, like, you learn. I know we're running out of time here, but you start to really learn what you thought was failure. It's not failure. It's an attempt. It's making you stronger. It's making you smarter. It's making you better and better prepared for the next time you try it. And so I listen to people talk themselves out of so many things, but I'm just like, play through the what if. What if you don't make it? What if people judge you? Guess what? Tomorrow you wake back up, you'll be okay, you will recover, you'll try it again and you'll get better. And we have to stop telling ourselves we can't. And yeah, every day is such a lesson. And even the goals that we don't achieve, maybe that wasn't the goal, you know, that's the final answer. But we need to learn from it. And it's this beautiful journey through life, you know?
So we're just about out of time. So when you go to, you know, your next expedition, how can people follow what you're doing?
Oh, I would love it. And I love to share the entire journey from the airport, the different countries, the experiences, and then Antarctica would be fantastic. But you can go to my website, which is GGRIT, so grit.com, and then also on Instagram, my handle is the same, so GGRIT. And yes, please follow the journey on Antarctica. There'll be some days that I am, you know, no internet, but I've got people helping, like at least post, you know, where we're at in the journey and the agenda and what's going on. And I just cannot wait to share this amazing, you know, like another world, Antarctica. It's so mysterious and fantastic. So I'm really excited to share just experiences down there.
You know, I'm in New York, you're out west, and, you know, it's really bitter cold out, and it's 30 degrees, and I'm thinking, I don't really want to go out today, and then I think of you, and I think of myself as such a wuss, but, you know, I'll be following you, I'm sure people listening to this will follow you, and when you come back, we can talk about, you know, what we talked about after Everest, how this changed your perspective and possibly your life.
That is my favorite part. I can't wait to meet who I am after this, because it's always a transformation, and I'm always excited.
Megan, the best of luck to you, and we'll talk when you come back. I'll see you. We'll talk in the new year. You've been listening to Megan Buchanan. This is Women Who Inspire. And if you like this show, like us on Facebook. Thank you, Megan. Always thank you for taking the time
thank
to
you.
Be on the show. And thank you, everybody.
Thank you for the support.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.